What, did they think he was fixed?
I do believe werewolves reproduce asexually.
Budding.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Take two!
Welcome to Exposition Street, celebrating geek movies in all their splendiferous glory, a presentation of Prismatic Tsunami. My name is Eric. Thank you for joining us today. Before we get started, I want to go ahead and throw that email address out there and see if it sticks. Feedback@prismatictsunami.com. Feedback@prismatictsunami.com. Damn, it's running down the wall. Okay, we'll deal with it anyway. Discord server, you can join us there as well and let us know what you'd like to hear us talk about on the show. It's just that easy. If it's a movie that we can get to and it fits within our complex algorithm that we are using to determine what movies we're spitting out every week, then we'll take a look at it if we can get it for free. For the most part, that's pretty much the parameters. It's got to work for us. Got to be something we want to talk about. Got
to
be
streaming.
It's not free-ish. Yeah, free-ish. I mean, we all pay for streaming services, so, you know, you get what you get.
You pay for streaming services?
Somebody does. Going to go ahead and introduce the panel over here. He kind of really wants to know the degree to which you may or may not have been dorked. It's Richard.
Hey, well, I've spent years trying to forget about the 80s, and here I am, having to watch a movie from the 80s.
That's going to happen.
Won't be the first time. Won't be the last time.
Yeah, wasn't the first time. Actually, was it?
That's true.
Yeah, we've done it before. We'll do it again. Actually, Kmart does sell silver bullets on aisle 12, but they're knockoffs. It's Vanessa.
Everything at Kmart is knockoffs.
That's what I didn't say. but I meant it in my heart.
Exactly.
Definitely the guy who stays in the cockpit making spooky sounds. It's Jason.
Whoa.
Save it for the cockpit. Jeez.
I stayed in the cockpit.
Oh, is that what you're doing over there? Just so confused. And finally, we blew him up, put his head in the blender, and mailed the rest of the pieces to Norway, and he's still returned from the grave. It's the kid.
What's a Kmart?
They've only been closed for a couple of years. It hasn't been that long.
Yeah, you got to take everything in stride, sir. It's all about context.
I'm on drugs.
You are. Fair enough. You are. And we appreciate you being here. You know, I, given what you've been through, the drugs are definitely understandable.
I had an appendix a few days ago. Fortunately, I still have my table of contents.
Good call. And very useful. Thank you so much. Julie's laughing at it, even though this is the second time we've had that joke. The second try we've had at the show.
It's Love still it. Funny, I told you.
Our studio Tuesdays. Audience is funny. Of course, she's also on drugs. this week's episode, we are talking about Monster Squad, one of our... October special selections, if you will.
It should have been called Nature Squad.
So special.
Nature Squad?
Yeah, they could look at flowers.
Or Art Squad.
You're on the wrong drugs, sir.
But that was one of the lines in the movie.
Oh, was it? Nature. Yeah. Oh.
Nature Squad, Jason where they can me. Look at rocks Jason and collect birds.
Me. Wow.
Now I completely. Like
it's not too late.
That's what they said.
I know.
That's fantastic. This movie came out on August 14th, 1987, my birthday weekend.
So did mine. Never mind.
Yeah, and it went straight, shot right up to number 12 at the box office with $1.9 million its opening weekend. Was beat by such luminaries as Disorderlies, No Way Out, which was a Kevin Costner thing, I think, and Can't Buy Me Love.
No Way Out, three words in an action title. That had to have been a Steven Seagal movie.
Yeah, that's possible, actually, now that you say that.
It was a better movie.
I had just turned 18.
Oh, very nice.
What August. A formative period.
Wait, which time?
Rated
PG. It was the third time I turned 18.
Rated PG-13, runtime 1 hour and 19 minutes, because the studio execs insisted that it had to be under 90 minutes long. Apparently, the original draft of this movie would have been a tad bit longer.
It was still too long.
Oh, interesting.
Right out the gate.
Opinions.
Yes. Here we go.
Okay. You know what they say about opinions, right?
Young group of monster fanatics attempt to save their hometown from Count Dracula and his monsters. There you go. Simple to the point, right from IMDb. These guys pen some of the most classic and useful.
has anyone ever mentioned that they pay them too much?
Right. It's probably a volunteer job.
Right. They still
interns.
Paid.
It's good interns. Call. Directed. Yeah, they get college credit. Still way too much. Directed by Fred Decker. He hasn't done a lot. He did RoboCop 3.
That puts things into
context. I don't think I ever saw that one.
I did.
And he directed a Tales from the Crypt episode.
It's about one of those was really good.
Good point. But he was a writer on Tales from the Crypt. He also wrote this movie with writing partner Shane Black. He also wrote things like Frank worked on like House and House 2.
I do have to say, this would have been a much better movie with the Crypt Keeper in it.
You're not wrong.
You know, I can't argue that point. That's actually pretty spot on.
Oh.
I'm all about that. I think we should start reshoots immediately.
We thought
I've got several suggestions for reshoots.
At least opening narration. If you had the same script, even the same movie with opening narration from the Crypt Keeper and the Tales of the Crypt music,
my rating would go up a full star.
This whole thing would have been better.
True.
It just would have been a slightly long Tales from the Crypt episode.
I mean, really, they had the scrolling text. They just would have needed to add the voice.
I guess they could have added a little bit more adult
puns.
Stuff, gore,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Something, you know. Yeah. Boobs.
Boobs would be nice.
Boobs.
Shane Black.
Wait, maybe that's not such a good thing for a movie where the protagonists are all 12-year-olds.
They had plenty of boobs. I'm sure it would have been fine.
there was boob implication.
Strong boob implication.
Implied boobs.
When you're 12, there's always implied boobs.
It is.
I don't remember being 12.
When I was 12, they weren't implied.
You weren't.
Are we sure?
Oh, well, that, I guess from the girl's perspective.
Oh, my.
It is kind of interesting to look back on this style of movie that had a cast of young boys, and they were just young enough not to be pervy, necessarily. In a lot of these movies, you'd still have, like, one person who was.
You kind of did have like one, so, yeah.
They had one.
They had one.
And you felt like he was kind of the little bit older kid anyway.
Well, he was.
He was the junior high.
He was in middle school.
He was smoking.
He was smoking.
Though, in the 80s, that was just cool, I guess. I don't know. I wasn't there. Shane Black.
He lit the match on his foot. Of course he's the cool one.
That's what we did.
Dude, is that what he did?
Yeah.
I thought that was... Never mind. Shane Black, here's the other part of the writing team here, right? And he's responsible for things like Lethal Weapon, Last Boy Scout, Long Kiss Goodnight, Last Action Hero. He's working on a Doc Savage movie right now.
Ooh, Doc Savage.
Now, I listed that particular group of movies because... I love them all, but they are definitely the kinds of movies that people either like or really don't.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of them.
That's an interesting kind of... It's an interesting kind of dynamic from Shane. He also wrote Iron Man 3, which has mixed responses from people.
Can we do a compilation episode of all the kazoos at some point? Just
that would be time-consuming but funny.
And annoying.
Funny for
Maybe
us.
Maybe on the one-year anniversary.
Okay.
We'll do a kazoo supercut. A Jason kazoo supercut. I bet I can figure it out. Actually, sometimes it'd be hard to tell the difference whether that was Jason, one of the real kazoos, or my kazoo sound effect.
It's like, why did he record an hour of buzzing?
Music by Bruce Broughton. He did like Ice Pirates, Young Sherlock Holmes, Harry and the Hendersons. He was busy in the 80s.
I loved Ice Pirates.
I had no problem with the music in this movie until they had to make a rap at the end.
Oh, yeah, that.
I fast-forwarded through that.
I only actually listened to the first two bars, and then I was out because the movie was done.
I watch movies until the credits are over.
To be fair, it was
people like you.
It was slightly reminiscent of the rap at the end of Ghostbusters 2, except I liked this one better.
I couldn't hear the end credits because I was busy yelling at my roommate what I thought about the movie.
I think it was Bobby Brown.
It was
a rap at the end of Ghostbusters 2.
Was
called the Ghostbusters in the end. Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah. All the while the slime was under my building.
Dun, good stuff.
Well, they can't all be Bat Dance.
That is a great policy. Bruce Broughton also did the music for Tombstone, which I thought was amazing. So, I mean, he's done some really good scores, in my opinion.
Wow.
But I love Tombstone. This movie actually had a lot of quiet in it, though. There's a lot of periods. I mean, not quiet as in, like, silent, because it has I can't remember what they call that, but the ambiance stuff, you know, noises off.
Yeah.
That stuff that's in the background noises like birds or other kids at playgrounds. So, yeah, I mean, that kind of shit. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's a constant in this. And in my recording, because it's not a good transfer because the movie's from 1987, there's also a nice hum under everything that I could not get rid of, which, you know, is
sad,
annoying.
Dude.
But I will share it with all of you because you know, I have clips. Yeah. Lots of clips. starring Andre Gower, Sean. He hasn't done anything we know.
Did any of them do anything later?
Well, here's the thing. And
I was able to find one for a movie we've done.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a couple. Okay, but the kids, Andre Gower, Robbie Kiger, who played Patrick, and the only role that I recognized from him was he was Job in Children of the Corn, which was a few years before this. Ryan Lambert played Rudy, the older kid, right? Mm-hmm. And like he was on Kids Incorporated. I mean, I had to really look for things where I might recognize people having done something as far as the kids go.
The scary-looking German guy? Was the Baron's doctor.
Those were different. Yeah, those were different. the adults, some of the adults we had seen and stuff before, and that was a really good example. His name is, let me find it, Leonardo Cimino, anyway, whatever his name, however you pronounce it. And he is in credits, a scary German guy. They never give his name. Yeah, he was on Dune. He was the Baron's doctor, the one who would lean into him and play him with the stuff, you know. Like. And he was the elder in Waterworld. He was a cardinal in Hudson Hawk. I've seen him in several places.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, he's all over the place.
Yeah, he's very familiar face.
I like him.
But I couldn't find anything that the kids had done that I recognized. But he was a scary-looking German guy. I totally found him.
The only kid that was familiar was EJ the Bully, was the older brother on Wonder Years, where he also played effectively the same character.
I was wondering if that's where I knew him from, was Wonder Years. He looked so familiar, and I was trying to, but I didn't look him up.
Was he the one that Rudy made eat the candy bar on?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was so cool. No one ever did that to any of the bullies who used to beat the shit out of me.
Duncan Rager played Count Dracula. He's done a bunch of TV roles over the years. He was on V in the 80s. He was a regular on V.
He's my big thumbs down for this movie.
Really? Well, Dracula as a whole. But he was actually praised for how much it was a throwback to the 30s, kind of. And I was like...
Oh, he looked the part.
I don't know. He was in my favorite scene in the movie when they're in the airplane and he opens the drop and Dracula's still just standing there floating in the air.
Okay, that was kind of cool.
That was kind of cool.
I'll give you that one.
I'd say that scene was cool. I enjoyed that one.
The dad, I knew him from, he was familiar, but I think also from TV stuff. I mean, it was hard. There was no point in me going through these guys looking for credits that we would know them from because it was going to be a hard patch to hoe. It's going to be a hard patch.
He said a hard hoe. Leave you alone. First, I thought he said Harpo, and I'm trying to figure out what this has to do with the Groucho Brothers.
Absolutely nothing.
Groucho's Brothers. I don't know.
How many of us are on drugs?
Not enough of them, apparently.
Depends on your definition.
It would have been tough to nail down anything that we really knew, though. Mary Ellen Trainer, we all know. She was the mom on Goonies. She was the mom in this. She was in Die Hard. She was a psychiatrist in the Lethal Weapon films. She was a regular on Parker Lewis Can't Lose, a regular on Roswell. I mean, we've been seeing her in stuff for most of our lives. And Stan Shaw, who played a Detective Sapir, his dad's partner. I mean, who... I never thought of Stan as a particularly good actor. He overacts a lot. But
I am a mighty fine policeman.
But he was in Harlem Nights. He was in Rising Sun. He was. I loved his role in Cutthroat Island, if you've ever seen that.
Wait, didn't he blow up?
Yes.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, in fact, he's one of the worst kind of tropes that we ever saw come out of the 80s and still is not particularly gone. Black dude dies first.
That's a thing.
It is.
Huh. Oh, totally.
His only consolation prize is, kind of like best monster movie death ever, blown up with a stick of dynamite by Dracula.
There was a lot of dynamite in this movie. Like that.
I like the sequence. Now, there's the one thing. Maybe we shouldn't get into it. I'll come back to him. I'll come back to Dracula. You said you had issues with him, so I want to talk about him a little bit.
Yeah.
The monsters in this movie are really good. Tom Noonan.
4 out of 5.
Tom Noonan.
I'm not even sure I'd give it that.
Played Frankenstein's monster. And Tom is a face I know from other things. And I was not surprised to see him, but I had no idea he was in this because it felt appropriate. Now, he was in, he was Kane in Robocop 2. If you guys remember the second Robocop movie at all. He was the guy that was in charge of the drug distribution and stuff. He was the bad guy. He was so good at being a villain. He was the Ripper, Last Action Hero, the one at the beginning who throws the kid off the roof, and later in the movie comes is pulled back to as a nemesis for him and stuff. And he was
him in that movie.
And most recently, I'd seen him in the series 12 Monkeys, which if you guys have never seen this TV series, I cannot recommend it enough.
I haven't seen anything that you've listed so far in this diatribe.
I may have seen the first couple of Monkeys.
Yeah, there's a bunch of those. They went for 4 seasons. It was weird. But he played, they called the Pallid Man, and he was exactly what you would expect, somebody that was just striking and odd enough and somehow threatening in the background whenever you saw him. It was really good.
Kind of like my mom.
Yeah, a lot like your mom, actually. I mentioned. Your mom! That's everybody that I wrote down. is everybody that I want to talk about.
Okay.
So box office looking at a $12 million budget to make $3.7 million worldwide.
How did they spend $12 million on this? How did they make 3.7?
Bad effects. Lots of dynamite for some strange reason.
Here's the funny thing. This was not, I mean, $12 million was probably a lot to spend on this kind of movie in 1987, but they were trying to capture some of that Goonies sort of sentiment.
They really were.
You could tell.
They absolutely were.
They definitely thought they had something better at the theater, and the script did not support it.
No.
The acting did not support it. The kids were not great actors.
Are you suggesting this movie had a script? Yes, because that was where my whole problem lies, is in the script.
I don't think they improvised some of those lines. They were too quick. They came off too quick off the tongue. They were written down somewhere.
Okay.
Most annoying part on the entire script was there was a character called through the entire movie Fat Kid.
That was his name in the credits, wasn't it?
Horace.
No, he was called Horace in the credits because I actually checked.
Here it is.
Hey, Fat Kid. Good job.
My name is Horace.
Just had to share.
But no, he gets all offended when the bad kids call him Fat Kid, but all of his friends also call him Fat Kid.
See, that was me.
This is when you go. This is when you go back to that whole 12-year-old boys thing. I didn't do this. I didn't have a group of, I didn't have friends when I was 12. All of my friends were D&D players that were a few years older than me.
And they were your players.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't get it. But it felt natural somehow. I think they were trying to capture that, right?
I get that. Me through the whole movie.
But my problem is, at the beginning flashbacks. Of the movie, they spent time getting to know the guys, and that's when I tuned out and was not happy with the movie, because in the beginning intro, get to know the kids being kids scene, there were three highly homophobic.
Mm-hmm.
And one was where they were basically intimating that the principal, vice principal, whoever was trying to be buddy-buddy with them was
being a pedophile. Yeah.
And then the other two where they flat out use the F word. And I'm
this
like,
shit
I
does not hold up.
And if I did not have to watch this for this podcast, I would not have made it past that third one. I would not have known that it stops. It was needlessly put in there. And then it disappeared with no payoff later. So to me, it was just hate. It was thrown in there. But on the other hand, that was a lot of that drive in the 80s because there was a lot of hate.
It's the way kids talked.
Well, there was a lot of hate driven by politics in the 80s.
Yeah, there was.
Well, and this
because of the whole AIDS scare and all that.
And that kind of stuff was so casual.
It was very normalized.
Kids are cruel was like a trope that was just part of this genre or something.
So when I got done watching the movie and I couldn't talk to any of you guys because we needed this podcast, I sat there and I woke my roommate up and I talked to him for 30 minutes about that one point because it made me so angry. And that's what I walked away from the movie, was just thinking about that. With all the other things, good, bad, otherwise, that's the thing that got to me.
That's fair. I get it. I absolutely get it.
And that's the thing that made me walk away going, why did you have me watch this?
Now, and if that's going to be a problem for you in the future, I will try to keep an eye out for that stuff. But a lot of times when looking at older movies, obviously, I won't remember.
You don't think about it.
I won't remember the dialogue. And I wouldn't have thought of it as anything at the time. Everything is a part of the era that it's born in.
Right.
It's just like I don't bother beating myself up over the misogyny of books or stories that I read from the 20s or the 30s. Or the casual racism of anything that was written in the 19th century. You know, it is annoying and it is out of its time and it is not appropriate today, but it wasn't written today. So do we judge a movie? And that's fair, I think, to look at it and go, this is how I feel about this now.
But the question is, does it hold up now? It definitely does not.
No, that is a thing
not
that
in
I...
Not my opinion. I know, never watch a movie that starts that
even
way.
As much as that sort of stuff doesn't get to me, I noticed it. I noticed it immediately when they started using the word homo and stuff and throwing it out there like a slur. I mean, I got it. And my first thought was, well, that's not something you hear today. My second thought was, well, that's going to annoy a couple people on this show.
Which was really offset because I loved the story. I loved all the creatures. I loved the fact they did their things. I loved the way Frankenstein did his Frankenstein thing. And of course, he's not going to hurt the girl. That's never been in his character type through all the history.
I was actually going to say, if we hadn't done the Frankenstein movie we did earlier, we did, right?
Oh, I Frankenstein.
Yeah, we did.
if we had not done that movie, because I'd never seen that until we did it, I would have definitely put this portrayal as one of my favorite Frankenstein's monster portrayals in cinema ever.
Interesting.
I really loved this character.
Because it really...
This also irritated
me. It caught
me,
his
so
heart. But,
I'll get there.
But the other thing was the special effects was so all over the place.
So unspecial.
in the same scene, you had a beautiful bat to vampire transition where they spent a lot of time and money making it happen. 2 seconds later, you're in a cave. There's a coffin there. The vampire's standing there and a whole bunch of rubber bats on strings.
Yeah.
They spent all of their effects budget on the first transition.
Oh, and the Wizard of Oz quality vortex. I'm like, wow, okay, I'm sorry, special effects have come somewhere since the 1920s. I'm just saying.
Now, the practical were good. And that's one of the weird things about
it.
It
was really great practical
Stan Winston's
effects.
Creature Shop was involved in their mission here.
I loved it.
Their mission here was to try and recreate a real homage to these original monsters, which they didn't even have like the license to use. And you'll notice if you look in the credits, like none of them are called, you know, what
by
they
names.
Are. They had to create characters that were suggestive but not exact copies of the iconic monsters.
Right.
So
and I thought they did well.
They didn't have permission to license those specific images. They called the creature from the Black Lagoon. They called it the Gill Man.
I noticed that.
Yeah. But they were doing some original designs because of that. They had to think outside the box and get innovative. And the costumes looked better than those monsters ever had.
They did. They were awesome.
The costumes were good. I will give the costumes credits.
And then in the same scene, you'll have an effect that's just like totally the opposite side of the category. I'm like,
and I did like some of the tricks that the director came up with to help with that process. Like when they did the transformation where they focused in on his hand and then the hand transformed. And then he dropped and you saw the hand again.
Yeah.
And then he was full on in the cape and everything.
Yeah,
weird.
I thought that went
but,
well. I mean, I even liked it when he was caught mid-transform as a giant bat. It looked a little rubber suity, but it was still really well done rubber suity.
It was interesting. And the Wolfman they did when he was changing in the phone booth, they had him start reacting and then the camera panned around the booth and as the bar on the corner was in the way, it got around that and he had done part of the transformation. Yeah, you know, stuff like that. It was really good.
It was well timed and well paced as far as the transformations go.
Yeah. It is, I mean, it is what it is, obviously, but
for the 80s.
But like the Frankenstein monster, for example, he looked a little bit like the Karloff version, but he didn't have the bolts in the neck, instead he had them in the forehead.
Right, right. That's the weirdest thing is all these things I really enjoyed about the movie. And that one thing that just drug me down hard.
No, that's absolutely
where my
legit
focus was.
Absolutely legit.
And that's how you ruin a movie for the future audiences.
Let's see, a couple of interesting things I picked up. According to Fred Decker, Shane Black's first draft of the screenplay was so huge that the opening of the film featured Van Helsing accompanied by Zeppelins and hundreds of men on horseback, storming Dracula's castle. He stated that the sequence would have been cost more than the final budget of the film just for that sequence. So, of course, it got scrapped. The scene towards the end where Dracula lifts Phoebe up, and I didn't mention her. She hadn't done anything else, you know, that I recognized her from. Obviously,
5-year-old girl.
Yeah, and she was just about
adorable.
The best kid
yeah.
actor in the movie. Funnily,
she was the best kid actor in the movie.
I thought the lead kid Sean was okay, but most of his lines were very kind of like that, you know, that kind of intense delivery thing.
All of his lines had exactly the same delivery.
Exactly.
There was no variation, no character development,
but
no
because,
growth.
Because he had so much build in it, the exception of that, by the way, partially, was the conversation he had with his dad early in the movie when his dad's shaving or whatever and get ready to go out.
When they can make sure to really throw him as an angsty kid.
And yeah. But his initial delivery with the dad, it felt so natural. It was really organic. Now, that might have been at least a part attributable to the acting of the father.
Yeah.
But he was fine. All the adults did fine.
The adults were fine.
The principal was creepy. What was that freaking... I mean, he was supposed to be, but this bit.
Boys, I hear you. I was a kid once. I thought monsters were cool. And maybe, gosh, maybe I'm just a big kid because Sean, Patrick, I think science is cool. I dig it, man.
Oh, the cringe.
I'm sure both of you know a great deal about monsters, but that's not the issue here. The issue is science is real. Monsters are not.
Yeah. base premise.
Number one note that I took when I decided I'm going to write stuff down, because I had some issues with this movie as well. The first one that I put to paper was there should have been a payoff with the principal.
Yeah, I agree.
There should have. There was no payoff.
The principal should have been in the ice cream shop.
Something,
or
yeah.
Something.
Yeah,
or he should have got sucked into the vortex.
Because we did get that with the bullies.
We got the little bit of bully payoff.
I will admit that by a third of the way through the movie, I had completely forgotten that character even existed.
No, he didn't matter. That's really not the point, you know.
It was pointless.
Just like the cat-headed teacher.
I was really hoping she was gonna end up being like a wolf person.
That's part of the thing where they built up this background of what the kids are, but if they cut it from the movie, what would have lost?
Absolutely nothing.
What would the movie have lost? Except for a homophobic section,
there was the AT montage in it, and they were doing they're playing Rock Until You Drop in the background, and they're doing all getting ready for the assault, yeah. You know, and that thing was kind of cool.
Second note, bullets don't work like that.
I love it. Yeah,
you don't just take a solid hunk of metal, make it bullet shaped, and put it in a gun.
I noticed that. I'm like, you're only supposed to make the little bullet part. The shell is
generally
different.
Have to assume that he managed to get a primer cap somewhere, and I don't know.
No.
He was forging the whole shell. It was awful.
Wow, okay.
They wouldn't have shot anywhere.
Oh, I was going to say, the scene, and I know I was jumping around, but the end where Dracula lifted Phoebe up and she screams, that was all done in one take. Duncan Rigger, he wouldn't wear the red contacts or the fangs around Ashley Bank because it scared her so much.
Aww.
And he didn't like that. So for that scene, Decker told Ashley to scream once the platform raised her. When she asked when, he told her, oh, you'll know, and started the shot. And he wore the stuff for that shot, and that was a genuine scream of fright from the child.
Poor kid.
And so it's funny thing is that
terrorizing actual children for your entertainment since 1987.
Yeah, are you kidding? And I mean, the funny thing about that is that I read that bit of trivia before I got to that point in the movie.
So you were looking for it.
It went differently than I expected, because she started screaming before I could really see the eyes of the fangs. But of course, she was in a position where she could, which actually I guess made it more natural. But it was still kind of weird knowing that was a genuine thing, and then it kind of timing out weird.
Oh, the ending of this movie, I had so many problems with.
Yeah. I got some clips. More clips. Like I said, I got a lot of clippage. So unless anybody has anything specific to jump on right this second.
Wait for proper triggers.
I'll wait. Yeah, wait for triggers.
This movie has those.
Oh, yeah.
Wolf Dork.
Look, Wolfman doesn't go to work. He's not like a guy. What are you talking about? He walks around, he wears pants. He had to wear pants because those movies were made in the 40s. He had to wear them so you wouldn't see his Wolf Dork. Wolf Dork.
Well, they were 12.
I think it's reasonable. It's a reasonable argument.
It's not bad. Not bad. This was
I was going to say, I believe, at least I was told, that the term dork actually specifically refers to a whale penis.
No.
So, no? Okay.
No, that's incorrect information.
I was
misinformed. That was a punchline to a joke.
That's interesting.
I was misinformed.
I'm wondering about a lot of the things we've discussed over the years now.
When I was in high school, we just said it was a dork and we were calling them dorks. And when we called people dorks, we were calling them dicks.
Mm-hmm. Depressed. This was the clip that I was talking about with Jason, I think.
I'm depressed.
What for?
What do you mean, what for? I'm flying a World War II bomber with wooden crates in it and dead bodies. I should have a party.
Do they complain? Do they get airsick? Do they ask for more of the little almond things?
You're right. This is a great job. I'm really happy.
I love the instant turnaround. My life works like that. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah.
I'm depressed. I'm upset. I don't like my job. A guy says, hey, could be worse. I go, oh, yeah, you're right. It's great.
Yeah,
a little
pretty
perspective
much.
Helps.
This was a terrible line to give some exposition to something.
Actually, my biggest problem with this scene was that there was no explanation as for why it was happening at all. Why was he in a World War II bomber?
There was no reason for the World War II bomber. It was just important that they were going from Europe to America.
There was absolutely a reason for it to be a World War II bomber.
So they could drop him.
So they could
drop Frankenstein.
Fair enough.
Oh, they'd have to have that hatch. The bomb
they had to
doors.
Have the bomb hatch.
That's
so,
a good point.
That makes sense.
No other type of plane would have been able to have that.
Because any cargo plane, we would have had to open at the back or something and slide out the back.
Alrighty,
interesting.
Good catch.
Although the vampire jump during the daylight, and I thought that was weird.
Oh.
I'm like, why is that not at night?
Even in Bram Stoker's Dracula, he could go out in the daytime, just saying.
But he made a big deal that he has to go to sleep soon. Like, he had to, he was sending Frankenstein because he had to get in the thing, you know.
I mean, in the classic Bram Stoker story, he still had to rejuvenate.
Yeah.
And it was always during the day when he
did. Yeah, he still rejuvenated during the day. Just if he had to get stuff done, he could still get stuff done. He just wasn't at full power.
He was just weaker in the daylight.
Generally looked older, which wasn't portrayed in this. But
which, yeah, not important either.
Not important either. So,
the nuance was a little lost. Is that what we're saying?
That is kind of impressive, because I had forgotten that the entire vampires turning to cinder and ash at the slightest touch of sunlight is an entirely modern invention.
The only thing that was important in the entirety of this movie is werewolf has nards, which is also the only line I knew about the movie before I watched it, and the only line most people remember.
And I think it was the name of the documentary a few years ago that talked about this movie, actually.
Not surprising.
They wasted a whole documentary.
That reminds me. I forgot one very important complaint I have about this movie from my memory of it.
Go ahead.
It has a distinct lack of Corey's.
Yeah, right?
It really does.
It's just unforgivable.
I swore this was a Corey movie.
I can tell you why.
Budget.
$12 billion. That's exactly why. By this point,
they couldn't afford a Corey.
I thought it was a Corey movie. My memory had it as a Corey movie.
Again, being a Goonies kind of vibe that they were shooting for, you know, they should have had a Corey in there.
I think I blended Lost Boys.
Makes sense. Vampires.
I would watch the Lost Frog Boys. Brothers.
Would you? Lost Boys might be a fun one to do. I haven't visited that movie in a long time.
Oh my God, Lost Boys.
Haven't seen the
soundtrack, I will gush all over.
Oh, that is a well-deserved kazoo.
God, Vanessa has not seen Lost Boys. I'm really rethinking this podcast. No.
But that's the point of this podcast.
Oh, that's right. Introduce Vanessa to more movies. I'd forgotten about that.
That's the entire reason we're here. Thank you for listening.
So far, it's working.
That is our secret.
Hey, we've had a whole one that I brought to the table.
And it was awesome, and thank you.
I wish I'd seen it.
Chekhov's German.
Yeah, it's what, Van Helsing something. Now, he's the one that fights Godzilla, right?
Dracula, Mom.
Well, then which is the really tall one?
That's Godzilla. Abraham von Helsing. This is great.
The cringe.
This is German.
I like that.
And in the back of my head when the story was going, I'm like, guess who gets to talk to scary-looking German guy later?
So here's the thing. And
who turned out to be one of my favorite characters in the movie.
I couldn't.
Too. MVC, most assuredly.
Yes.
Oh, ooh, yeah. Good call.
I couldn't help but try to put myself into a little bit the mindset of, because I really loved this movie when I was younger. And so I was trying to figure out, try to touch base with that experience somehow and see what it was, because I can't say I really love it now. It really did work in a lot of ways for me when I was 12, but there are little things like this that, looking back, are completely out of bounds. I don't know how you could possibly have a child that you have any communication with who is an absolute monster freak and not know what Godzilla is in 1987. I'm just saying.
You know, I hadn't thought of it quite that way.
Mom doesn't pay attention to my thinking.
My mother, I mean, she wasn't terribly interested in the things I was into, but she saw half the Transformers cartoon series and Masters of the Universe because I watched them all the time. You know, right. It wasn't intentional. She was doing laundry or whatever. It was just there.
And you talked about it, and she listened.
Yeah, and bought the toys, or, you know, whatever it was that you're into. This kid draws pictures and stuff.
The parents in this movie are horrible people.
That's parents in most movies that have kid features are horrible people.
All of them.
That does seem to be a thing.
That's hard to argue that.
There is no way those children, I don't care if it is the 80s and it was a quote-unquote safer time, being out at 10 o'clock, midnight, whatever, with no warning, and all of a sudden, okay, what's this meeting about anyway? How did all of those children get from their respective homes to that clubhouse?
I've got to tell you, though.
You didn't have my childhood.
You grew up in Wichita.
Yeah.
I grew up in a tiny town of 7,000 people. My parents had no concern about
this
where I was or how long.
This was not a tiny town. It's implied this was like L.A.-ish. I mean, the skyline was massive.
No.
Was it?
They were still suburban.
It might be very suburban. Because it didn't feel like it. I mean, they were going out to the Shadow Road or whatever, edge of town looking stuff, and they had like
Dracula
12
Dracula stood on the cliff and looked out over this city.
Yeah.
It was a city. And they had dozens of cop cars and police and, you know.
I feel like it was probably the suburb of a major city.
Not a small town.
I did go out a lot when I was 12 in the 80s. And at night, after hours, it was a thing. Okay.
It wasn't like, I don't think when I was a kid, it was like every night or anything. But
I never fought a wolf man. But I did think I saw a vampire.
Well,
one time.
Missed out. Groundhog Day.
Oh, come on, Dad! I'm waiting all year to see this movie.
Easy, pal. It's only a movie. Tomorrow night, you and I go see Groundhog Day. I'll get him early.
Tomorrow night? That'll be too late. The guys will plan the entire plot.
Your plot?
There's not
Sean,
a plot.
It is a guy with an axe. Anyway, I thought they killed him in the last one.
They did, and he returns from his grave.
He returns from the grave? Sean, he always returns from the grave. If they blew him up, put his head in a blender, and mailed the rest of the pieces to Norway, he would still return from the grave.
That was part 7.
That was part 7. Everybody looked at
kid. I remember I was there.
Yeah. You know, I love the fact that they pulled Groundhog Day out of their ass for that. As Halloween. It's like, wow. And then, of course, Groundhog Day was a much better movie than any of that.
Yep. But it was a horror movie.
And Vanessa's even seen it.
Yes.
The worst part, a horror movie. It's worse, though. If you watch the credits and you're paying attention, it's Ground Space Hog Day.
Groundhog Day.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Let's see.
That's hilarious and terrible, and I love it.
The other thing I was thinking about, we were talking about the way the kids were talking, though, was I suddenly made me want to go back to, because a lot of the casual kind of like just constant insults and stuff between them, and the I want to say creative, but I don't think it was really meant to be creative so much. It was just kind of, you know, again, trying to, the way they talk or whatever, epithets and such. I wanted to go back and look at the other movies of the time, right, with the kids, like the Goonies and E.T. And I mean, these were family entertainment, right? And did these kids talk like this?
To be fair, yes, we did talk like that. And even some of the homophobic stuff, I am not in the mood for it at this point in my life.
Well, I'm not even talking about that necessarily.
But I'm just saying, yeah, we did talk like that. I mean, in real life, we talked like that. I don't know about the other movies.
When I watched this movie as a kid, I identified with it because that's how I was treated at school a lot.
But not
by my friends.
Right.
I still slam Huber today at your game tables. Sorry.
That's an interesting
point. I make odd little things all the time, and it comes out of that.
Well, there's always cliques that function in an environment of like casual insults and banter. I mean, that's not really...
Banter is one thing, but refusing to use a person's name and calling them fat kid.
That I would not do, and I did not appreciate that.
That felt like, I mean, just felt like somebody didn't understand. It felt so out of place.
And why didn't Rudy put them to task?
Right.
Because Rudy was the one that came out of nowhere to stop the real bully, quote unquote, real bullies.
The assumption being that these are his friends and they can do that.
And, you know, I see you've met my friend Horace.
Mm.
You know, why didn't he say, hey, guys, his name's Horace. Knock it off. Just once.
That would have might have actually made me feel better about it. That fat kid thing annoyed the piss out of me the entire movie.
And that was very personally relevant to me because that was my relationship with my friends when I was that age. And I never thought there was anything weird or strange about it at that point. I certainly didn't take offense or feel
I guess I just never had nicknames growing up.
Suggest there's a question of context then. It's hard to put your... It's hard at this point to cast myself back, you know, how many years?
I can't trust my memories from that age.
34 years, I guess.
My biggest problem on that was it was the same insult.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, because it was a name. They used it as a name. It was a replacement for a name. You know?
If the bully called him Chubby and they called him Fat Kid.
Goonies, it was Chunk.
Chunk.
Yeah.
They called him Chunk. It wasn't his name.
It was a little less on the nose, though, at least.
Right, but it was...
Truffle Shuffle? I mean, it was the same sort of treatment.
I get it's the same sort of treatment, but it was Fat Kid is very explicitly on the nose.
But Chunk was also an affected nickname and possibly one that he took on himself. It was not the insult that the bullies were using to make him cry in the playground.
No, that's probably true. Yeah, I had bullies that called me a certain name and my friends didn't use it.
Right.
That's fair.
The bullies use one thing, the friends use another, even if it's insulting.
Yeah. I had bullies that called me Eli. I don't know why. They thought it was insulting for some reason.
I thought it was cool.
That's freaking weird, guys.
But that was another one of my troubles, was that his friends treated him worse than the bullies did.
Yeah. The title?
Yeah, what the hell's Monster Squad?
It's us. We're the Monster Squad.
Since when?
Since now.
What's a squad?
It's like Miami Vice, I think.
Think there's monsters.
like real ones. I heard my dad talking on the telephone to a guy down at the police station. There was a guy screaming he was a werewolf, and they shot him. Then the body disappeared from the coroner van. The coroner guy was dead.
So what? He got shot in a werewolf, took his body?
No, you peenhead, he was a werewolf.
There was another one.
Peenhead?
There's another one. So, okay, and there's there. This clip here actually makes me think of this the most in a way. There's the comparison for me, because I know, we know, this movie was written and produced in the 80s. So this isn't some sort of affectation looking back and trying to make it sound like it's from the 80s. This was really the thing, right?
Actual 80s, wow.
But I immediately come to the delivery of some of the characters in Stranger Things, which is an homage,
yeah,
in its own way.
That's what I was
thinking. Sound a little like Mikey when he's doing that. You know, that sort of like staccato, oh, yeah, sort of like the cadence, desperate, yeah, delivery. And Stranger Things, it's so much, comes off so it much more natural.
So much better. It feels so, yeah, much more legitimate now, than a movie that was actually made in the 80s.
Now, there's a lot to that. Obviously, the Duster brothers write better scripts. The actors in Stranger Things are amazing kid actors.
Yes.
No question about all of them. It's apples and oranges in a way, but it's still that same, they're harkening to that same genre, so it immediately jumps out at me.
You have to wonder if they made him watch this movie.
There was an interview, I saw this, but I didn't record it to talk about it. There was an interview with the Duster brothers that were talking about, and it was before Stranger Things even came out, like before season one premiered, where they were discussing where some of the character influences and inspirations came from. And they said, they even said at the time, well, there's an ensemble here, and some of these characters are actually in different kind of movies. And they would say, like, these kids here are in a John Hughes film, and these kids here are in this. And then, like, these three kids, and I can't remember who they were talking about, were like in the Monster Squad. You know, it's like, I mean, they actually referenced this film, if I remember correctly. Wow.
The two with the walkie-talkie and... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe that's a part of it, you know, with the walkie-talkie and stuff.
That was an awesome walkie-talkie.
Yeah. In Stranger Things or in this one?
Both. In this one.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And in Stranger Things, I guess, actually.
Did you ever walkie-talkies as a kid? I don't think
I had awesome walkie-talkies as a kid.
I'm not surprised at
I
all,
had
Richard.
Walkie-talkie envy.
Oh, because yeah. That's fair. Sounds about right. Your parents would be afraid that, you know, yeah, bad influences would come through the end of that other end of that walkie-talkie.
Sneak in on the radio waves, yeah. That was a thing.
Meanwhile, I was talking to truckers.
He'd sit in his room and play Dungeons & Dragons with a flashlight in his walkie-talkie.
I was using Skip to talk to Colorado with my walkie-talkie. You watch me.
Villains be villainin'.
I was asleep soon, so listen very carefully. Van Helsing's diary is missing. I want you to retrieve it for me. You understand?
Yes, Master.
Children possess it. I want you to find them and take the diary. If they do not cooperate, you will kill them.
Hard left.
I hated that entire line.
Right.
It was a dead delivery. It went absolutely nowhere. Frankenstein, as soon as he meets the kids, goes, "Oh, kids!"
Well, the moment he did that, I'm like, that would be totally out of his character to hate kids, that to be able to kill kids like that. And I'm like, oh, I really like the way it panned out.
But at the same time, he addresses him as master in a way that in most monster movies would imply that he has some sort of power over him.
Yeah, some control right. over it. That's what I was thinking during that scene. I was like, does he have some way to influence or control?
Exactly.
When he's with him, obviously. Because when he felt him near later, he made comments about it. You know,
but he still didn't act on it.
Right. Again, there were so many monsters in this film. I say again because I haven't mentioned this before. There were so many. I thought about it before. There were so many monsters in this film. And there were so many different plot lines. And they were trying to keep it under 90 minutes. And I know why it was a longer movie. Because even if they cut out the stupid stuff they didn't need, there was a lot of stuff that really should have filled out with that much of a monster ensemble. Although, to be fair, at this point in the movie, I was rooting for the monsters. So
here's a good time to talk about Drac a little bit, I think. Because I don't know if I have any good clips of him. And I had this kind of like, I hated the character most of the way through the movie. The end, though, the end sequence, when he starts, especially when he starts Terminator walking his way across the freaking street scene.
Yeah.
Oh my God, he was terrifying. This guy did that deadpan straight, nothing is actually going to get in my way, kind of Robert Patrick freaking T-1000 walk. It made me jealous. I was like, I want to have this impact just walking through a room.
I will give you that scene because that was well done.
I mean, fine with his deadpan speech because I thought he was supposed to be deadpan. I thought that was his motive as a vampire.
I would love to know why Dracula's main weapon was dynamite.
Which was great, too. I loved the whole concept of like, Dracula's mad at me, so he comes down to my house and blows up my treehouse.
But he left at least one stick in his pocket so he could blow up the cop car.
Part of that was because it was the 80s.
Yes, but
and
he's
we like to
Dracula.
Blow things up.
He's Dracula. He's supposed to attack like a vampire
it's
does.
A
the rest
kids
of them, they,
movie.
The rest of them, they actually put some attempt
million.
Into the homage.
The only thing that made it work a little bit is that he had dynamite because he was blasting under the house.
Which is why he had it.
They also had dynamite 100 years ago for some reason when Van Helsing was doing things.
And it was the same dynamite.
The same reason. Yeah.
You know, if it works, why change it?
You know, it might have been a little unstable by now, just saying.
No, we had a friend who learned that.
Dare I ask how?
Boom.
Fair enough.
He said had. murder us? Murder?
Firstly, he's scary, okay? And B, he's German. Maybe he doesn't even speak English. Okay, so what's German for? Please don't murder us.
Bitte, morden Sie uns nicht.
I love that he's in BC.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's so good.
I
almost literally gibbered at that scene.
The stakes. The stakes. Here we are talking to the German guy, getting some of the details out here.
It is a talisman which wards off evil and is, indestructible.
That means it can't be destroyed.
Or in any case, normally destroyed. However, and this part is underlined, once every 100 years, at the stroke of midnight, the amulet becomes vulnerable, and at that moment, it can be shattered.
Yeah, that's a little bit of setup for him.
Right. Much forecast.
Yeah, and I don't remember whether there was anything that really gave you all those pieces before he said it.
There wasn't.
But, I mean, the pieces were there, so I was okay with, I think, the exposition in that way.
I was okay with German exposition.
We had seen
guy.
It happen.
Yeah.
We didn't know why.
This explained
it. We didn't
it.
Know what we were seeing, right?
Right, yeah. We didn't know what we were seeing. This finally explained it.
So that's
it.
Fine. That's fine. See, this one I called APB. It's the cops. What was that?
That whole first sequence with Ben Helsing,
yeah.
Made no sense for most of the movie, and I wasn't even sure what was supposed to have happened.
Bring in the girl!
But mostly I didn't understand how the monsters were still around, because it looked to me like they all got sucked into the black hole. So I was very confused.
Yeah.
It never showed Dracula get sucked in.
Yeah.
And I only realized that in retrospect. I had assumed he got sucked in, with no actual evidence to it, so...
So these other monsters are just hanging around waiting for the 100 years.
And the other monsters were other places. And the vortex only gets what's around it, like bicycles and trees and picket fences.
And cars, even though the kid that's hiding behind a park bench is fine.
Yeah,
and
not even a breeze in her hair.
To be fair, Dracula could have found a pair of ruby slippers and come back that way.
Oh, don't even get me started, man.
Limbo.
A little bit with the cops. The cops were, by the way, let's see, how do I put this? Utterly useless in this movie.
Ooh, was there a line in the credits that said no actual cops were harmed in the making of this movie?
No, they called the police officers even then.
Oh, okay.
Last night, did the ambulance crash? Get this, eyewitness report. A long black hearse. No plate. You want to ask me about the hood ornament?
What about the hood ornament?
I thought you'd never ask. A silver skull. I consider this an exciting lead. I'm excited. Are you excited?
I'm thrilled. Put out an APB.
Already did. I'm a very good policeman, you know?
Very good policeman, yeah.
Now, did you get the line of how did you get that dog up here?
Yes. No, I didn't capture it. I didn't.
Because I love that line.
That was a great
That was one of my lines I wrote down. And I realized that was the thing. Because that was, I literally was asking that in my head is how did the dog get up there right when they ask it? And I'm like, I'm not the only one. Okay.
I had been thinking that since I saw the dog in the treehouse. I'm like, how is the dog getting up there? And then when they asked, I'm like, vindication.
And one of my notes is how did the dog keep getting up there?
Yeah.
And see, it never crossed my mind until they asked it. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute.
I guess I should clarify that the cops were useless except for his dad, because he did have the one great confrontation with Dracula.
Only after Wolfman said Dracula's going to kill your kid.
Yeah, he seemed to take it personally at that point. Yeah, it was,
for
it
some
was
strange reason.
But he was going to ignore it until he's like, Dracula's going to kill your son.
Well, yeah.
His dad was the wild card. The other cops were just, you know, standard.
Just extras.
Yeah.
Extras. Yeah. Good call. They did not have wound levels or wild eyes.
Which is why Dracula was able to have a brick-like march through the street.
But it also means he wasted an entire stick of dynamite. He didn't need it to deal with that guy.
Well, it's yeah, good point.
It bought him time.
Okay.
And to be fair, that guy may have had wound levels. He was a very good policeman.
He probably got a Benny out of it.
A lot of what I've got left here is kind of climbing towards the climax and the denouement. So some of them are shorter, but this one is... Okay, I'll talk about it after.
We just wanted to know... Have you ever caught...
Oh, the crap.
Okay. What we want to know is, are you a relative?
Hey. Look. What's your brother is so delicately attempting to inquire, and let me add my own personal curiosity, is the degree to which you may have or have not, at some point in time, been dorked.
You guys are sick!
You could hear the facepalm.
So much cringe.
Right. Even dorked. Re-listening to it in that clip form gave me EBGBs of cringiness.
It was pretty bad. Freaking cringy the first time.
Another one of my notes. In the climax bit, Rudy should have been the virgin.
Yeah. Any of the kids would have qualified.
Why did the virgin have to be a girl?
Exactly.
That. Misogyny.
And I was actually more bothered by the fact that someone had to ask, admittedly, it was a kid. Someone had to ask if the 5-year-old girl qualified as a virgin.
Well, it was another kid asking, yeah, yeah. The misogyny, though, isn't necessarily, I think, intentional in that way, because it's an assumption of the identity of a virgin construct in stories.
It's systemic misogyny, of course. Yeah. My bad.
Systemic misogyny. Yeah.
Oh no, I completely much so. Understand where it came from, but there was no reason for it.
Dragons had to feed on virgin maids. Only virgin maidens could ride a unicorn. You know, all the stuff that goes
so
with
much
supernatural
cringe.
BS.
And I do think that she probably wasn't originally targeted because she can't read.
And that's, they could have just fixed it by using a term that identified that it had to be a girl in the magic or whatever.
All they would have had to do is say like a
virgin girl.
Maiden implies virginity.
Yeah.
And it would have been actually a better one. Maybe somehow the directors in the 80s thought people didn't know what maiden meant anymore or something. Or I don't know. Maybe it was too much.
I just thought of something that happened earlier in the movie that I wanted to bring up.
What's that?
Dracula being able to jumpstart Frankenstein.
Oh yeah, he carries around a cane to look cool until it turns out that it's just because he has electrodes and a lightning rod in it.
Yeah,
for the sole purpose
of jumpstarting Frankenstein.
You don't have a jumpstart cane?
Makes you think it's not the first time.
He also knows how to drive.
Yeah, oh, he's a vampire.
Yeah.
What do you know?
Oh, good call. That one slipped past me.
Sir, if you're going to be up all night, you're going to learn some skills.
When I heard this next line, I thought of Jason, just because of the kind of conversations we would have about characters and stories and stuff.
I'm terrified.
About this Monster Squad thing, maybe we could go back to the clubhouse and rethink it with the other guy. That kid being a wuss.
Wuss?
Can it, Frank. Time's running out. Shano! Scary house, real monsters, us, 12 years old, remember? Midnight. In the world, remember?
Master is near. Master wants children dead.
Can it, Frank? That whole thing, the whole logic part of that. Hey, dude, we're kids. This is all scary. This guy wants us specifically to die. Maybe this isn't the right situation to run into right now. And then Sean being the whole, well, you know, the entire world's hanging in the balance.
Oh, come on. One of them even wrote a letter to the military.
Who showed up late?
Definitely.
Least they showed up.
How?
Which is actually saying, that's not like obviously important.
80s.
Which is that is saying something more than the police could actually even.
I can't tell you how many times in
the
80s.
Well, the police were there before the military was. They just all died.
I can't tell you how many times in the 80s I had the entire army show up because I wrote a letter.
Dear military guys, we have monsters. Love, big, Eugene and crayon.
Every week it was a thing.
That's another thing, too. The one little nod in the movie that's something that no kid ever would have gotten, and I certainly didn't.
didn't about the German guy.
Mm-hmm.
You seem to know a lot about monsters.
Yeah.
The tattoo,
I suppose,
yeah.
I do.
Oh, I loved that.
That was a great scene for the parents in the audience.
And I remembered it from when I was a kid. I remember the numbers, and I think I had to ask my dad what it meant. I remember learning about it when I was a kid, so it stuck with me when I saw it. I was like,
having the
Holocaust tattoo, yeah.
That was pretty potent.
Another vote for him being NPC. I've got like three of them in there now.
The whole thing about him being scary German guy, and it, you know, turns out that, I mean, because the Jerry Skerman, the scary German implication is Nazi or something, and he was the opposite.
Oh. He wasn't a Nazi. He was a Jew in the camps.
And the callback to the, how do you say, please don't murder me in German?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh.
You know.
Oh, he probably had to say that.
Yep.
German Jews. That wasn't uncommon.
That was my point.
But the other thing I think is funny is like Von Helsing's diary was in German, but Von Helsing's a Dutch character. Just throwing that out there.
I'm taking a point off for accuracy.
I'll play this again just because I can. You're welcome.
That's the only thing you need to remember about the movie.
That musical cue to the nard kicking, though.
Yeah, the music was all right.
Yeah, if you hear that music, you probably should, move.
Let's see. I don't know why I call this Burger King. Oh.
Don't take the church. It's religious.
Slots is what it is.
Fine. We'll just have to do it right here. Like, really religious, Sean. Why don't we just go over and do it in Burger King?
You guys.
Yo, again, Phoebe. She was great.
So many Burger King references and Pepsi references and Snickers references.
Oh, yeah. The project placement was strong with this one, dude.
Yeah, it was.
$12 million.
And then, of course, part of the situation we were just talking about, I called this one Steve.
Are you absolutely sure that she is?
You're not a virgin, are you?
No?
No, what do you mean, no?
Well, Steve, but he doesn't count!
Doesn't count!
I'm pretty sure Steve counts.
That was one of that actor's better moments, though. That doesn't count was so good.
He's her little brother. He should be so creeped out by this whole conversation.
It was hard for him, obviously. That entirely depends on your family dynamic, I guess, maybe. I guess.
That's true.
Last clip, Eugene.
Who's Eugene? All right, son. Where are they?
Love this
line.
Where
are the monsters?
Mommy came in my house.
Yep.
Can somebody tell me what the Sam Hill is going on around here?
Well, we can, sir.
Who are you?
We're the Monster Squad.
Yeah, I think a hurry I was in to get to the next thing.
Right.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. What you got, Rich?
Okay, so as I'd already stated, if I hadn't been required to watch the movie, I would have shut it off after the pointless third homophobic reaction. So that's where my thumbs down is going. Thankfully, there were no more after the beginning of the movie. But it didn't set up a good expectation for the rest of the movie for me.
That could have been arbitrary. I mean, at that point, you would have had been reasonably expecting to deal with it the rest of the movie.
But Chekhov's homophobia did not pan out good or bad. It was just pointless background hate. While it matched a lot of the hate narrative that was started in late 70s, it still didn't drive the plot. And it definitely has aged poorly against modern sentiments.
Agreed.
On the plus side, though, there are two sides. There are humans and monsters. I loved that each person actually had their own drives in the story. And it could have been a more detailed story if they'd had more time to do it and weren't spending so much money on effects or whatever. So I felt that the characters' goals were clearly defined, and I liked it. I liked that Frank, he had his own things. Even though he knew what he was supposed to do, he doesn't hate kids. He was never built to hate kids. He was always the monster who actually had a heart.
He wanted to be
We didn't know whose heart it was, but he had one. So it wasn't a bad movie. but I could not recommend watching it at all at this point. And the odd mix of great and not so great effects were jarring to watch. The characters were good, in my opinion. The payoffs were good, except for the things that I hated. So I'm going to do the thing I don't like to do, and I'm literally going to midline this right in the middle, and I'm going to hit 2.5 stars.
I feel that really carries with what you've talked about throughout the show. It makes a lot of sense to me.
If it hadn't been for the fat phobia and right. homophobia, I would have loved this movie.
So that's a good point right there. If you were saying if you literally stripped out the offensive dialogue, then the entire movie is transformed.
Senseless,
yeah, because it didn't play an important role. It was like scene it setting. Really stuff didn't. Is all it was. It was dressing.
It was building characters, which made me not like the characters. I really was rooting for the monsters at the end.
That's fair. That's interesting. Vanessa, what do you got?
Well, if we're going to start with thumbs down, most of the movie. It had terrible script. I liked the characters. Terrible script. That is my big freaking problem with this entire movie. There was no character development. However, thumbs up, I did want to see character development. I liked the characters for what they were, but I wanted to see more to it. I liked the monsters. I liked the monsters more than the people. I will echo that one.
Yeah.
But I liked the music. I'm still going to sit kind of middling on this one, and we're going to also go with 2.5 stars.
Interesting. This is weird. Jason?
Okay, so thumbs downy things that annoyed me that I didn't already talk about. Mom and Dad's marital problems were pointless.
Yes.
They were too.
Did not play a role in the story at all, yeah.
It did. All it did was add 5 to 10 minutes to the movie that was unnecessary.
And there's that implication that they were brought together by their kids being in danger, so in the very last scene they're hugging and everything's fine, right? Or whatever.
Right. Something maybe kind of.
I don't know.
How did Van Helsing get out of the portal to grab Dracula at the end?
Yeah, that was just...
Oh, the portal. I forgot to touch
that. Was just
on that.
Icing on the cake. Yeah.
The portal was just... I mean, it was sucking everything up except that park bench and little girl. I mean, stuff from blocks away was getting sucked into this portal, and she's just standing there.
Inconsistent portal mechanics are the worst.
Yes.
There wasn't even any point to the portal.
And there was no point to the portal because you could have just killed the monsters the way you killed the monsters, and it would have been so much easier. The spell to conjure the portal, that got interrupted so many times. There's no way that just her saying those words broken like that would have conjured the portal. You know, because then you've got monkeys writing typewriters thing. At some point in time, someone's going to say all of those words in a over the course of their lifetime if they're allowed to just say it willy-nilly like that. Arg. And I also had issues with the insults and the way that it was portrayed and just the fact that it didn't age well, and it made me mad at the friends for being just as bad, if not worse, than the bullies. That made me not want to like the characters I was supposed to like.
I think it made it worse than the bullies because they were able to get away with it.
And it made it worse than the bullies. And it made me mad at the one that wasn't doing it. The one that wasn't doing it also wasn't doing anything to stop it. He easily could have, with one word, said, "Guys, chill." And they never would have called him Fat Kid again. I think Rudy had that power, and he didn't use it.
Yes.
It pisses me off. Positive notes, I thought the music was great. I liked the music where it was used, and I liked that it wasn't always there. I like movies that don't always have score.
Right, it's not a musical. We're not singing the whole thing.
You know, there doesn't need to be background music every single second of every single scene.
This movie might be better as a musical.
Oh, it would be like Toxic Avenger, the musical, which I absolutely love.
A great stage musical, actually. It would work really well on stage.
That could work.
You could use most of the same effects.
Yeah.
And dialogue.
I liked the monsters. I liked the way they were portrayed. I didn't have a problem with Drac. I thought the monsters were enjoyable, and again, kind of because I didn't like the kids, I was kind of rooting for the monsters too.
Hearing an awful lot of that.
Actually, I say that I didn't like the main kids. I liked Horace a lot. I thought Horace was awesome. Cool.
Horace was the one redeeming child.
Because... And
hey, what about the 5-year-old girl?
The girl was good.
Well, Phoebe was good. She was fine.
Yeah.
It's the two main kids that were supposed to be the protagonists that ended up being the worst.
And at least her arc had a payoff.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Do you think you would have felt the same way if you had watched it as a kid at that time, about that age? I try to figure it out in my head if they would have bothered me as much, or if I would have identified.
Nostalgia is a blindfold.
It is. It is. Very much so.
I barely remember watching this movie when I was a kid. I remembered liking it, and I remembered thinking that Wolfman's Got Nards is funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I remembered it having Corey's in it.
No, oh, good point.
So, I don't know. But I do know that when I was, I do feel that I resonated with Horace.
Okay.
Because I also was a bullied kid.
Yeah.
And for similar reasons.
Yeah.
You know? I had the homophobic slurs and the weight things thrown at me. That was a thing that happened in my life. So it's just one of those, I know I would have identified with Horace. I still identify with Horace. And I thought he did a pretty good job. He kicked the Wolfman in the nards. He tried to save Frankenstein from the rubble when the main kid just said, leave him. What? You know, try to save your friends, you know, do something. And he shot Gillman.
Yeah. Which was crazy cool.
Which had that really cool payoff of my name is Horace. Chink, chink.
Yep.
Loved that. It was great. So all in all, great moments, cringe moments. I can't sit on the fence because I think it tips. It's a 2-star movie.
Oh, yeah. Not a huge tip, but definitely notable. That's fair. Kid, what do you got for us?
Okay. Hi. My two biggest thumbs down, and I'm avoiding stuff that's already been mentioned
because sure.
I had more than two otherwise. I was really, really nonplussed with Dracula. I felt like he was the least special monster in the movie. He just was not given his due. He didn't feel like the mastermind who was behind all of this. His motivations were boring and bland. The character was... I've seen so many portrayals of Dracula over the years, and even other just random vampires, and almost all of them have more personality than this guy did.
I was wondering about that, too, because he had that cardboard villain syndrome going on.
Yeah, and but, the other monsters, not so much.
But Dracula did that. They did that a lot with Dracula whenever Dracula was a villain character who was not the principal character in a thing, in the 80s especially, because Dracula was in the public domain. So every right. time you saw some story that had, unless it was a Count Dracula movie or a vampire movie where that's the character that was about, then they always had the cardboard villain thing going on. It's like vampires just weren't understood or appreciated. They weren't romanticized yet.
But in this case, he was supposed to be the leader of the pack.
Right. Yeah. And I don't think that was
Dracula
my experience.
Was even cardboard in Bram Stoker's Dracula, though.
I disagree.
To each their own. You're wrong. It's fine.
We can discuss it if you like. That'll be another episode.
We'll just have to put the movie on the list.
I'm not even talking the movie. I'm talking the book. I haven't seen the movie.
Okay. Oh, gosh. Okay, no, okay. Yeah, actually, you're right. You're right. You're right. In the book,
and that's fair.
But in the book, Dracula's point of view was never being told.
Fair.
Everything was through the eyes because it was a first-person account from various letters and journal entries and
yes.
all that stuff. And we weren't reading Dracula's perspective on anything, so it was everybody else's perspective of the guy. You need to watch the movie. We have to put it on the list now. We need to watch the movie.
Okay, let me make sure it's on the list.
Okay. If Richard is okay with it, we'll talk about it.
I'll sit through it one more time.
I've watched that movie so many times.
I've watched it twice. The second one was under duress.
Oh, man. Well, okay, maybe we won't. Maybe we won't. Well. Vanessa, maybe we can get together sometime and just watch the movie.
There okay.
That may be better. Sorry, kid. Go for it.
The entire amulet story or driving the entire plot thing was just crappy. It was so poorly done. Whoever actually built that into the story, they paid him too much. It made no sense. The ultimate good amulet had no actual stuff to it. The entire portal thing, like he was talking about, made no sense. I could not get on board with any of that at all. I feel like they could have replaced that with a literal pointless MacGuffin that never had any impact on the story other than being the thing that drove the motivations of both sides, and it would have been a better story for it. So those were my major thumbs downs takeaways. There was something else too, but evidently it was less important because now I've lost it entirely. And there were a bunch of minor things that I'm not going to get into quibbles. We discussed most of those or at least touched on them already. My main thumbs ups mostly comes down to characters. I loved Phoebe. She was a major reason for me to watch the movie. I did not miss any scenes she appeared in. I very much appreciated. I loved the scary German guy. Obviously, we have all pretty much agreed he's the MVC. Frank has been touched on. He was great. Oh, I remember the other thumbs down thing. The Deadpool regeneration of Wolfman after he blew up with the dynamite
right.
was dumb. It was dumb. That would be fatal to a werewolf as it is to anyone else. That is not any part of their powers.
And the only reason was so that we could do the silver bullet line.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a cheap gag for a cheap payoff. I couldn't get behind that at all.
I want to add to that just a titch.
Okay.
He had dynamite put down his pants, and his bottom half was still in one piece.
A very interesting point. His upper torso was in fragments.
Yeah, the upper torso was in like four pieces. His bottom half, one piece.
We have to assume that his nards, which were vulnerable to kicking, could handle the dynamite.
The anatomy of werewolves.
Sorry, no. I just remembered that, and I wanted to add it on while it was still relevant.
Okay. No apologies for this movie.
This is one of those rare shows, because a lot of times I try not to interrupt you guys too much with the thumbs up, thumbs down, especially with Richard, because usually that's the start of it. And I even interrupted Richard like twice this time. And I try not to do that shit. I'm really sorry. But it's...
Interruption incoming.
This was a lot of... Yeah, there was a lot of tangenting that was going to happen with this conversation. It was inevitable. Yeah.
The correct answer, the second way to kill a werewolf, is suffocation. And I was annoyed that this did not actually get used in the movie, because I was sitting there like raising my hand during that scene. Ooh, I know the answer. You can suffocate them. You don't need silver to suffocate. You just need an adamantine arm. So that was the other thing. But I loved the monsters. I wish we'd gotten to see a little bit more of Gilman, because I thought Creature was underused.
Yeah,
and a great monster. I was glad he made an appearance, because he's not often considered one of the classic monsters. The mummy literally disintegrating as it was unraveled was actually hilarious.
It was funny.
I forgot about that.
He was entirely ineffectual. It was like, the only reason he woke up is because it was time for evil, I guess. You know, just like, he didn't matter.
Right. So, and I really liked that. I liked, you mentioned the two main protagonists were kind of two-dimensional cardboard, and I can't disagree, but their dialogues and interactions gave me kind of callbacks to one of my favorite weird things happened to kids movies of all times that I almost never hear mentioned, and that was The Explorers, which is one of my most beloved weird things happening to kids movies of all time.
It's on our list for November.
It's coming up.
I love that movie, and this, other than Stranger Things, that was the other thing this movie really kept kind of
reminding
me. After watching this movie, we're scared about Explorers now.
Oh,
I love Explorers. I'm terrified for Explorers.
I will forgive any bad thing anyone says about it.
Your reaction to this is what I've been worried about from Explorers from day one. I wasn't expecting it for this one. That's my reaction too, by the way.
But I wasn't either. I
understand going in that I love that movie and it can do no wrong. My final rating is 3 stars. It was not a great movie by any stretch, but I found it highly enjoyable, very inspiring, and I recommend it to at least a few people.
I'm not surprised you rated it the highest.
I'm giving it 4 stars.
Wow.
This movie has a lot of nostalgia for me, guys. And unlike everybody, I'm trying to bank on that, because I know that I enjoyed this movie immensely when I was the target demographic.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that I give it a chance to be rated on that basis, because we are not. This was not a movie that was designed for adults to watch and tear apart. It was designed for kids to enjoy for exactly what it was, really largely kind of bad.
But, you know, and I have to throw real quick.
Please.
Three quarters of the way through the movie, I finally realized I'd never seen this movie before.
Oh, 3/4 of the way through the movie. Okay, so where does that leave us, Rich?
So that ends up putting us at 2.75 stars. So right in line with Real Steel and The Abyss. And it makes it better than, what was our lower ones? The one with the moon Nazis.
Iron Sky.
Iron Sky, yeah. And Conan the Barbarian.
Which, that's fair. I mean, we knew, that's a fair measure no matter what. Those are low for the show,
and
we know where we stand.
If we
ever do a movie that rates lower than Conan the Barbarian, I will say we shouldn't have watched it in the first place.
That's fair.
That's fair.
I can see that. What do we got next week, Vanessa?
We got Split Second.
Rutger Hauer. This will be fun. This is actually the more horror-y of the horror movies I got for October, so it'll be kind of interesting to get you guys' take on. Not a horror movie, but, you know, like this one was, not a horror movie. So make sure you guys watch it. That's Split Second. It's on Amazon Prime right now. Hope it's still there when you have a chance to get on and look it up. Gonna get on out of here. I'm Eric for Richard, for Vanessa, for Jason and the kid. Have a good week.
Bye.